The New York Yankees have been one of the hottest teams in baseball over the month of May, but there's been a lot of storylines surrounding the New York Yankees. We're going to talk about them and much more on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Boy, has it been a month for the New York Yankees. They have been really good, holding a 14-6 record throughout the month, the best record in the game during that span. They're coming off two impressive series on the road, one where they took 3 of 4 in Toronto, followed up by a sweep of the Cincinnati Reds. You know, I would like to say that the Yankees were successful and it was rather easy and whatnot, but let's be real. It was much more than that. You have sticky stuff. You have Judge, who knows where he was looking. Aaron Boone tirades. Aaron Hicks getting DFA'd. We have so much to talk about. Just from this road trip alone, it was absolute craziness. But overall, got to be happy the Yankees are starting to finally turn it around. Before we get into everything, reminder, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. You can download our show on any podcasting platform, however you choose to listen to your podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And of course, follow the Delahanty Media brand. We have some big things coming up this week. You know, you might want to stay tuned to our social media platforms just to see what is in store for the brand and for myself as well. A lot of exciting things coming our way. Now, let's jump right into it. Let's start with probably the biggest situation that hit the Yankees early on in this Toronto series. And as some of the players said, and it was quoted, they said, this series is drunk, and there's no better way to put it. Domingo Germán, we all know that a couple weeks back, he was evaluated for sticky stuff. The umpires told him to wash his hands. Again, it was something that stood out because there's so much uncertainty with this sticky situation and how everything has played out. And if you're the Yankees, you have to be holding your breath because once you get really evaluated closely, you're thinking, oh boy, another instance and we're going to lose a pitcher and for a 10-game span. And that's what happened with Germán. They said that it was very sticky, his hand, and that it led to an ejection. Ultimately, he let the team down. There's no way to look at it differently. You know, you come out, you throw three incredible innings, you come out for the start of the fourth inning, and then it's identified that you had sticky stuff on your hand. Not a good look for the Yankees. And it really puts the microscope on the Yankees pitchers moving forward because now umpires are going to say, Germán does it. Who's to say that others don't as well? And if you fast forward, the Yankees had a similar situation with Clark Schmidt. Fortunately, the umpires just had him wash his hand. But it becomes a situation where you say to yourself, what is up with these rules and how are these umpires determining what is and what isn't sticky stuff? Now, let's just look at it from this perspective. Say that Schmidt does get ejected from that game. The Yankees would now be down two pitchers. With these rules, they wouldn't just be able to say, okay, Domingo Germán got suspended, we could replace him. Or Clark Schmidt got suspended and we could replace him. They would have to go for the 10-game span without those pitchers. Yes, they would overlap, so it would be shorter, but that is a huge, huge issue for a team already dealing with starting pitching issues. And of course, you can't control it. Guys have used it for years. There's no real recipe for success with this rule. It depends on the umpiring crew. It depends on what is actually determined to be on the person's hand. But there has to be some clarity on Major League Baseball's side because, as you saw with the Clark Schmidt situation, and rightly so, the Reds were upset that he wasn't ejected from the game, that it was just a quote-unquote warning, that he was able to wash his hands. Grimmon a couple of weeks back, same thing. We saw Rocco Baldelli of the Twins. He got rung for a similar situation. There is no clarity whatsoever. And I think that it's leaving such a strain and a stress on these clubs because who knows what these pitchers are using. And for years, for decades, pitchers have used rosin and certain things to help them control the baseball better. I know as a potential hitter, I would not want to face a pitcher that doesn't know if they have control of the baseball. I really wouldn't. If you're throwing as hard as some of these guys are, I would not want to get in the batter's box knowing that they don't have control over the pitch. I really wouldn't. And I'm sure that hitters feel that way. And there has to be some kind of altering of these rules to figure out how we could avoid not only hurting these teams by having these guys suspended, but finding a balanced medium that makes both sides happy and allows the pitchers to gain that grip of the baseball while not being considered cheaters. If you watch the Mets, the Max Scherzer situation was one that really hurt the Mets. You know, that's a situation where he gets ejected. That guy's on the mound saying, you know, I didn't do anything, defending himself. And it puts a bad look on somebody who's considered to be one of the better pitchers of his era. So I think that Major League Baseball really has to look to address this. Also, Major League Baseball has to address the Toronto Blue Jays as a whole. They were acting like little babies throughout the whole series. It was incredible. But let's focus on the main things. They were worried about where the Yankees base coaches were positioned. Why? Aaron Judge was caught peeping toward a dugout, toward the first base coach. Judge, who said that he was looking at the dugout because they were chirping after Aaron Boone got ejected, rightly so because Aaron Boone argued a really bad strike call on Judge, something that we see a lot of. But Judge is saying that, you know, I was mad that my teammates were still chirping, that it was over. The Blue Jays were saying that Judge was cheating. And say what you want. Maybe Judge got tipped off by something that was coming. But there is no way that he would be able to look that way in the direction of the first base dugout so quickly and determine where the pitch was coming. I'm sorry, it's physically impossible. Did the first base coach tell him what was coming? Maybe. The Blue Jays pitcher who was on the mound said that he was in fact tipping his pitches, that it was determined. But in the end, if you don't want Aaron Judge to hit a 450-foot homer, don't leave a slider over the middle of the plate. And I think that it woke up Judge. And it really irritated Judge to the point where he's been on a tear. He's been hitting the cover off the ball ever since. So for the Yankees, you kind of look at it and you thank the Blue Jays for waking up a sleeping giant, because Judge has been in rare form ever since. And even before that, he was really starting to lock in at the plate since returning from the injured list. Now, the Blue Jays complaining about where the third base coaches are, I think it's petty. You cannot physically complain about where the other team's base coaches are when yours are out of the box as well. And Aaron Boone made that clear. Aaron Boone kept pointing it out, because what is right is right. And we see it. First of all, if you're a third base coach and Aaron Judge is up at the plate, I am not standing 90 feet away from him in that box. I'm not. You're out of your mind. Gary Sheffield, when he used to hit, one of my favorite situations was when Gary Sheffield used to hit and Luis Soho used to be down the left field line. I wouldn't stand in there, and I wouldn't want the Blue Jays third base coach to stand there when Vlad Jr. was up. And let's be real. When a ball's hit into the outfield, that third base coach is coming out of that box to round that runner home or to hold them up. That box is just a suggestion. Nobody stands in that box. Let's be real. Look at any major league game. Yeah, there's times where they're in that box, but for the most part, those guys are moving freely. So for the Blue Jays to start being petty because of the Judge situation, I just felt that there was so much going on that they were taking attention away from what was important. And for the Yankees, they took care of business on the field. And if you look at the Blue Jays, they're a mess. Going out to the mound twice in one inning, having to take out your ace in Manoah because of a coaching mistake. Those are the things that I would be worried about if I was the Toronto Blue Jays. The Yankees come out of that series winning 3 of 4. It was a hectic series. It was one of those very stressful, not easy feeling series. You know, if you're the Yankees, you'll take the 3 out of 4 and you'll come home. But in the end, it was just a complete mess. And you're just happy to get out of there with a series win. They go on to Cincinnati, and the Yankees make a trade. They get Greg Allen from the Red Sox. Remember, Greg Allen was with the Yankees a couple of years back. There was rumors that he was going to join the big league club. And at that point, you say to yourself, okay, who goes? Would it be Willie Calhoun? Would it be Jake Bowers? Both guys who don't have minor league options left. But no, it was Aaron Hicks. The guy that Yankee fans have been calling for to be released is finally off the roster. He was designated for assignment. And before you bash Aaron Hicks, and I know on this show I have talked about Hicks not being very good over the last couple of years, I want to go back in time. When the Yankees got Aaron Hicks, they were trading for a high-end defensive center fielder who did have a little bit of trouble staying on the field, but it was a trade that the Yankees felt would be beneficial. And there were times where Aaron Hicks was even considered one of the better center fielders in the league. The Yankees decided to give him a 7-year, $70 million contract. So it would essentially pay him about $10 million per year. And at the time, that was a relatively cheap option for a player that had the potential and the talent that Aaron Hicks possessed. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, and it led to Hicks becoming a role player for this current team. And it was a role that Hicks was not happy with. It was a role that he didn't feel was good for him. And the Yankees finally decided to rip the Band-Aid off and designate him for assignment. Yes, they have to pay him about $27 million over the next 2.5 years. They're willing to eat that money to make the team better. And Greg Allen, he's not a guy that is going to wow you. He's not a guy that, you know, is going to come in and hit 300 and be an everyday guy. But as we saw in the Cincinnati series, he's a guy who, you know, has some good wheels, could play some solid defense, could hit on occasion. He fits the role better than Aaron Hicks did. And of course, it's weird to think that Aaron Hicks was the longest tenured position player on the Yankees. Let's remember, they've had a lot of roster overhaul, but Hicks has been a consistent factor. Does he latch on somewhere else and get back on track? Who knows? But we all knew that the marriage in New York was never going to last, and it was time to move on. The Yankees did the right thing by making it happen. The timing was a little weird given that Hicks was starting to show signs of production, but I do think that it was eventual that this was not going to end well for the two sides. I wish Hicks well. I hope that he goes somewhere and figures it out and finds a, you know, more relevant role on a team's 25-man roster, 26-man roster. But given what he did in New York, it was time to move on. And you see the Yankees starting to make moves that they're saying to themselves, you know what, we're not worried about the status quo per se. They gave Volpe the starting shortstop job. He wasn't on the 26-man roster or the 40-man roster. They had to make moves to make that happen. They could have easily gave it to Peraza and said, you know what, kid, start the year in AAA. Now they part ways with Aaron Hicks. My question is, do they stop there or do they continue this trend? Josh Donaldson, due back in, you know, a couple of weeks. Do they decide that they're better off with DJ LeMahieu at third every day, a guy who's been tremendous at the hot corner, and say, you know what, we're going to cut our losses and let you go? Do they open up the pathways for some of their young talent, notably Jason Dominguez or Austin Wells? Do they start to figure in to say, you know, we're competing for this year, but we want to see what our young guys got? There's a lot of questions, and you know what? The Yankees are starting to make those moves that a big-time franchise would make. Once the Diamondbacks DFA'd Madison Bumgarner I felt that it was eventual that they were going to do it with Aaron Hicks. I really did. I felt that it was coming. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's the right decision for both sides. And now Aaron Hicks will have a clean slate and we'll be able to move on. But I do think that it makes the New York Yankees a better ball club. Speaking of making them a better ball club, Luis Severino returned to the mound. And he's a guy that, as talented as he is, hasn't been able to stay on the field. Well, he made a season debut in Cincinnati on Sunday, and he looked good, pitching to the fifth inning. I didn't expect him to go much more than that. With pitch count, I think he threw 75 pitches to be exact. He looked good. The velocity was there. Was a little amped up in the first inning. You know, I would be too if I was making my debut and return. Throwing a little harder than needed. Was a little out of control to start the game. Walked the first batter on four pitches, but then settled in nicely. This is a guy that the Yankees need to be successful. Harrison Bader said it best. He thinks that the Yankees are a much better team after Sunday than they were to start the day. And I agree with him 100%. The corresponding move was to send down Johnny Brito. And Brito is a guy, and we talk about him on the show quite a bit over the last couple of weeks. He's a guy that, if you would have told me back in November that he would be making close to 10 starts to start the year for the big league club, I would have laughed at you. I would have told you, no way is that going to happen. But it did, and it was good, valuable experience for a guy who the Yankees have high hopes for. Now, they could send him to AAA. They could let him pitch every fifth day, keep him stretched out, and he could work on some of the things that were evident when he was pitching at the big leagues. It was a good thing. Yes, obviously, you want Carlos Rodon and you want Luis Severino in your rotation, but there was some good things that came out of it. So, ultimately, you hope that he goes to the minors and that he continues to re-enhance his skills and comes back even better when the Yankees need him. Because you all know, you can never have enough starting pitching depth. And the Yankees are showing that right now. Clark Schmidt hasn't really been tremendous in the starting rotation, but he's a guy that the Yankees have been able to get a bigger look at and a more expanded look at. Brito's the same way. So you need that starting pitching depth. You need guys. You're not going to go through a whole 162-game slate with just five guys. It's nearly impossible. The Yankees already can't do that with Rodon and Severino already missing time. So if you're the Yankees, you hope that you can stay healthy and that you don't need it. But it is encouraging to know that guys like Brito did get some valuable experience early on. Now, as we kind of divulge in all the craziness, I want to take a closer look at the situation the Yankees are going to be in. Bader is set to become a free agent after the year. They, in my opinion, need to re-sign this man. Why? Number one, he's stellar in center field. If you have him healthy and he can maintain staying on the field, the guy's dominant in the outfield. It's fantastic to watch. Covers so much ground, does all the dirty work. The main thing with him is staying healthy. The Yankees need to learn from the Aaron Hicks situation and not overpay in terms of years. What they need to do is try to lock up this guy on a short-term deal. Maybe 3 to 4 years. Give him, I don't know. I don't know how much money he's going to even demand, because right now his base salary is $4.7 million. Obviously, he's going to want more than that, especially if he can stay healthy. But if you're the Yankees, a 3 to 4 year deal while this guy is in his prime would not hurt you. Avoid going more than five. That's all I'm going to say on this matter. I like Harrison Bader. I want to keep him around for a while. I think that he could be a good part of this Yankees core, a team that I personally feel is in a better position to win next year than they are actually this year. So that's going to be my bold statement of the day. Lock up Harrison Bader, 3 to 4 years. Offer him $7 to $8 million a year. See if that gets the job done. Avoid having to let this linger into the offseason. Now, of course, this was a very hectic show. Just like the last road series was, the Yankees are preparing to return to the Bronx. They'll host the Baltimore Orioles for three, and then the San Diego Padres for another three before they hit the road for a West Coast trip to end the month of May, heading into the month of June. And of course, as all this goes down, we'll be here to provide more content, more Yankee talk, and of course, we'll provide the good and the bad that's currently going on with the New York Yankees. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty. I am the proud host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. If you haven't done so already, hit us up on social media. Make sure you subscribe to our show to get all the latest news and updates regarding our latest posts. And we'll keep bringing the heat. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.